الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. While the critical debates within the Muslim community and the international community at large is this continuous debate on position and the status of women in the Islamic faith. What is her value? What is her role? Two things you hear about them a lot in the West, in particularly in the United States of America. One of them is the issue of terrorism and violence. That's why Islam is a religion of violence. Why Islam encourages its followers to go and kill and destroy. We saw an example of that today, unfortunately, in Chattanooga, Tennessee. A Jordanian who was born in Kuwait, and he has American citizenship and Kuwaiti citizenship. He opened fire on four Marines and he killed them. And then he killed himself. This comes at the end of the month of Ramadan, the month where we learn mercy and forgiveness and tolerance and understanding and love and compassion. Definitely that would deeply impact the image of Islam, not only in America, worldwide. So people ask, today many people ask, why? What wrong did we do to him? Isn't he a citizen of this country? He was raised here, he was educated, he was working in this country. Why does he kill innocent people? So this is one issue that we are constantly facing, and we are always on the defense, and always, almost every single day, we have to condemn these terrorist and heinous acts committed by some brainwashed Muslims. By some Muslims who have been really brainwashed by ISIS, by takfiris, by radicals, inside America and outside America. The other issue that we face is, why you guys disrespect women? Women in your culture, in your religion, they have second class status. They are not equal to men. Why women are mistreated in Islam and Muslim societies? So we have to answer these questions, my friend. We have to be ready to answer them, not emotionally, but rationally. Rationally, we bring the dalil, the evidence from our book, from the seerah, the lifestyle, the history of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and our imams. And of course, when they accuse us of mistreating women, these things do not come from vacuum. It has some roots. We have to admit, we the Muslims, we have to admit, people see certain things, they hear, they watch, they experience. So this is why they start accusing Islam. If you remember during the nights of this blessed month, I touched upon few issues that are related to the status of women in Islam. One of them is the issue of inheritance in the beginning of the month of Ramadan. The distribution of the inheritance, the ratio, 2-to-1. I also discussed the issue of shahada, testimony. Why the Quran says in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the longest verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, that two women, when it comes to testimony at the court, two women are equal to one man. Why is that? We explain that. And also we spoke about hijab. But today I'd like to address this issue of whether really women are not equal to men. What does Islam say about that? Are they really equal? And if they are equal, where is it? Show me. Show me that women are equal to men in their status, in their respect, in their role, in their importance and significance. We have two things, my brothers and sisters. One is the theory, and second is the implementation of this theory, the practice of the theory. When it comes to the first side, the theory, nazariya, if you open this Quran, Allah tells you straight, you know, it's very plain, very easy. Most people can understand it. Allah says in the Quran that men are equal to women and women are equal to men. When it comes to gender, I have no preference. Allah says in the Quran. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. I do not overlook the work, the production, the contribution of male or female. Be it male or female, to me, I don't discriminate, God says. I don't look at the gender of people. I look at their work. I look at their ikhlas, their heart, their intention. This is what is important to me, not the gender. So definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is no discrimination whatsoever between men and women. However, sometimes the application does not fit the theory. So in theory, men and women are equal. But in application in the society, by the Muslim ummah, by the Muslim society, by Muslim men, definitely you can see a lot of discrimination happen. A lot of discrimination, not few. The vast majority of the Muslim societies, if we have today 55 Muslim countries with a majority of Muslims, in most of these countries, women are discriminated against. You can see the difference between the way they treat men and the way they treat women. I agree with you. You can see that. It's very clear. Women have been marginalized, pushed to the sides of the society. We can see that. When it comes to education, men have the priority. When it comes to healthcare, men have the priority. When it comes to political leadership, men have the priority. When it comes to advantages, men have the priority. I agree with you. Even sometimes in the most sacred places in Islam, which is Masjid al-Haram, I have seen it myself. This is not a story that I've been told. I've seen it myself. At the time of Salat, they push women back. Those religious police, they come, and if a woman is praying here or there, they push them right to the last place at the mosque, as if they have no place inside the masjid. They push them back. Imagine if you are a female and someone tells you, you have no place here. Would you love God? What would you say about God? Shouldn't we have equal access to God? God says there is no differentiation between male and female. إِنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. I look at you both with the same eyes. I look at the heart, I don't look at the gender. But in practice, it's something else. In practice, we have to admit, it is something else. Many Muslim girls today, they are fighting for their rights. For what? For what? You know for what? For education, to learn. They want to learn, And in some countries, they tell them, no, you have no right to vote. In Pakistan, Taliban, they believe that women have no right to learn. In Afghanistan, they think that women have no right to learn. In Nigeria, they forbid girls from going to school because they say you are servants. Why do you study? You don't need to study. You are just like animals. So why do you need to study? This is how many Muslim societies treat Muslim women. In a few countries, very few Muslim societies or countries, very, very, very few, women have the same rights like men. Very few societies. That women were able, they struggled very hard to achieve almost the same status, almost, with men in very few societies. And this is really, it hurts. It hurts when you see Muslim societies are patriarch societies. Patriarch, it means the dominance are for males and men. They have the upper hand. And women are pushed to the side, and definitely when the West look at these examples, they would not respect Islam. They would not respect Islam. I always say that if you want to present Islam to the West, you have to show them the beauty of Islam, the beauty of our religion. If in the West they look at us as being a community that discriminates against women, marginalizes them, deprives them from the basic rights that God granted for them and gave them, if we start doing these things, then of course you cannot convince the West that our religion is the religion of equality. There are three opinions here when it comes to where do we stand in regards to women. Where do we stand in regards to women? There are three views within the Muslim community. Listen to these three views. Two of them are wrong. One of them is right. Two of these views are wrong because two of them are extreme. And I begin with one of them. One view which some scholars believe in, and those are Muslim scholars, by the way, they believe in this view, but not many, alhamdulillah. Some, only some, few. Few who are radicals. We have some radical scholars. If you see ISIS today, ISIS does not come from vacuum. ISIS is driven by a few group, smaller group of radical takfiri scholars and ulama who emerged in the Wahhabi tradition and the Salafi tradition. Those are the people who are the masterminds of radicalism in Islam. Many of them are scholars, and they are well respected in some countries, well respected and well protected. So ISIS does not come from people who are in the streets. It comes, the ideas of ISIS, their ideology, their fanaticism, it comes from some scholars. So those scholars, some of them, they say, this is their extreme view, we disagree with it, listen to this. They say that God created women only for physical relationship. This is their value. God only created women for physical relationship, period. She has no other contribution. They believe in this. They believe in this. And they tell you this is why God allows men to marry four women. Not only allows men to marry four women, but allows them to also have relationship with slave women too. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. But of course this argument is flawed, is wrong, and we can counter this argument. We can counter this argument according to the Holy Quran. So this argument is refuted. It's unacceptable. This argument degrades women. Not only degrades women, it degrades men too. Because it shows you that men, it portrays men as being like animals who have nothing in their mind but sex. That's it. This is how it shows men. And it is wrong. It's wrong. Allah says, men and women have a human soul. Human soul in this life. Women are not only for physical relationship. Women are for tarbiyah, for protection. Women are good mothers. Women are the one who teaches and nurtures and protects this society, the greater society. Women are the source of love and compassion and respect and adab and manners and akhlaq. If someone does not have a good mother, more likely he's not going to be good. If someone does not have a mother who takes care of him, who feeds him with manners, with adab. So we are the graduates of our mother's schools. The first school is my mother's school. I learn from her. All good qualities I learn from her. So this first opinion that God created women only for physical relationship is definitely wrong, unethical, and un-Islamic too. Second opinion is also extreme. Both of these views are extreme. One is on this side, the other is on the other side. The other side comes and says that women are better than men. And therefore, because they are better than men, superior to men, they have to have the lead. They have to have the leadership. Men have to sit at home, women have to lead the society. We have to trust them. So women have to be the leaders of a human society. This is again, this is unrealistic view. This is the view of someone who's emotional, you know. Sometimes they drink too much things, you know. Sometimes, I don't know what they drink. And they come up with these ideas. So this opinion is also wrong. That women are superior to men, better than men, so they have to be the leaders and men have to be assigned to their homes. We come to the moderate view of our book, of our Holy Quran, of our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah believes in the equality of men and women. They are partners. Neither men are superior nor women are superior. Both are superior. In the eyes of God, whoever does better is superior. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Islam believes in that men and women are both equal and they are partners and they integrate each other. God created them so they integrate, they help, they complement each other. Neither a man can function in his life without a female, nor a female can function properly without a male. God wants them to work together, hand in hand. This is why marriage is important. This is why you're a prophet. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "An-nikahu sunnati." Nikah and marriage is my way of life. I cannot function without it. We men cannot function without women. Neither women can produce or function or give or contribute without men. We both need each other. No man should be under this illusion that I can do it by myself. I don't need women. What's women? Leave them alone. This is wrong. Nor a lady should think that she can, you know, live in this life on the journey towards perfection without the aid, without the help of a partner. Now, we have some examples, very, very few examples, but they are not norms. They are exceptions of some people who lived their entire life, some men or women, without partners. But these are exceptions, my friends. The norm is that you need a partner. And you need, by the way, you need a partner from the opposite gender, huh? Not same-sex marriage, huh? That's not partnership. That's not good partnership. Because you have done nothing. If you put two people who are the same, you know, they are not going to help each other. You have to put, you know, opposite to each other so they complement. They complement. Because men have shortages and women have shortages. And men have strengths and women have strengths. So women with their strengths, they complement and complete the shortages of men, and women through their, hopefully, inshallah, strengths, they're going to help the shortages of women. See? Opposite. Opposite gender. Now, Islam believe that women are equal to men. They are half of the society. They are the teachers, the educators, the murabbi. Believe me, my friends, the best title in this life is, you may carry the title of doctor, engineer, lawyer, judge, president, mayor, chief of police, this, that, but the best title you may carry it is murabbi. Murabbi, nurturer. Someone who nurtures people. Someone who provides with his akhlaq, with her knowledge, with his knowledge. Murabbi. Therefore, mothers, Allah has given them the best title. Believe me, the best title. All other titles are below this big title of being a mother, murabbi, provider. A mother is the source of akhlaq. Source of akhlaq in this universe. No society can advance without good mothers. I always say those people who kill, be it Muslims or non-Muslims, people who kill innocent, be it a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, this, that, unfortunately they missed on something very vital in their life. They missed on having a good mother. A person has a good mother. You can see it in your life, my friends. I'm not giving you a theory. You can see it. You have mothers in your family. If your mother, if the mother is really committed to protecting her children, definitely the children are going to be the best in the community. The best in the community. But if the mother, she doesn't have time. She has more other things that are more important. The shopping is more important. The friends are more important. Then in that case, we see the failures with our children. But if the mothers are committed to protect their children, definitely their children are going to be number one in their manners. They are going to be universal leaders. And we have it in our ziyarah, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ كُنْتَ نُورًا فِي الْأَصْلَابِ الشَّامِخَ. When you speak to Imam Hussein, you tell him, you became Imam Hussein because you had a mother like Fatima al-Zahra. Your mother was Fatima al-Zahra. What do you expect? She does not produce like Hassan and Hussein and Zainab and Al-Kurthu. On the other hand, others, they had other mothers. So they produced Muawiyah and Yazid and Fulan and Fulan and Fulan. Each person belongs to his mother in this life. So this is why motherhood is the most senior title, the most honorable title in this life. So we should not think, those who say that God created them for physical, only physical pleasure, they are dead wrong. Dead wrong. They don't understand the meaning of motherhood. Now two things where I conclude, inshallah. One, what I said is correct, you may ask me, say it, hold on, please. You're telling me there is musawat, equality between men and women. Then why Quran says in chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa, Al-Rijalu Qawwamuna ala An-Nisa. So what, how do you explain that? Al-Rijal, men are Qawwamun, above women. What does qawamun mean? Qawamun has two meanings. One is negative, which we do not believe in. The second is positive, which we believe in. If you take the negative meaning, it means that men are the controllers over women. None of our fuqaha that I know, at least I know, I revised their work, their tafsir of the Holy Quran, their interpretation, none of them believes in this term, controllers. Maybe we have some radicals, takfiris, they believe in this interpretation, that men are controllers, but not in the school of Ahlul Bayt. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, we believe that the term qawwamun in the Quran, it means maintainers, providers, protectors. They have a bigger responsibility. In this society, in any human society, the husband has a bigger responsibility towards his family than the mother, than the wife. God has given him more physical power. He's the one who goes out to work. He's the one who goes out to establish relations. And he's the one who does establish a family. He goes to his wife and tells her, and he kneels before her, and he tells her, will you marry me, please? And she has to think, you know, either say yes or no. So he's the one. So if he asked her to marry her, now he has to provide for her. He has to protect for her. He has to defend her. So this is the meaning of qawamun. Take the positive meaning of it, not the negative meaning where some odd people, people who live in tribal, in the desert, we have, until today we have people with desert mentality. Now they are bombing Yemen, those with desert mentality, and during the month of Ramadan and Eid, Friday is Eid in Saudi Arabia and the Arabian Peninsula, they are bombing people even on the day of Eid. This is desert mentality. So those people, they believe that men are controllers of women. And they have the right to beat them up. They have the right to whatever. Okay. The second, well, I conclude here. Many people ask, why Muslims in America, in Europe, elsewhere, they segregate between men and women in the mosques. Do you know that this masjid is one of the few in America? We have over 2,000 mosques. 99% of these mosques in America, they segregate between men and women. Meaning that you go to the mosque, women go from this side, men from this side, they don't see each other, there is a wall, two separate rooms, and then when they leave the program, they see each other at the parking lot. Let me explain this. Now some people say, what is right and what is wrong? Do we segregate? Is better or not to segregate? To put them in one room. Some women in the Muslim society, they are more comfortable to be segregated. If you ask them, they say, listen, I was born and raised in this country, in this culture. Since I was baby, we used to go to a mosque and the mosque was segregated. There is a hall for men, hall for women. They don't mingle together. So I'm more comfortable if you leave me in a masjid where it has two sections, men's section and women's section. I'm more comfortable. I enjoy my time better. This is her opinion. And we have to respect this opinion. We have to respect this opinion. But then others, they argue that maybe this is correct in the Middle East. In some countries where women do not have a bigger role in the society. Women are only homemaker, housewives. They only take care of kids. They only cook food. But in America where women are considered equal to men, they go to school, they graduate from the best universities, they contribute to the civil life, to the political life, to the economic life, then you cannot segregate. You cannot push them back because they want to participate. They want to listen. You know, I travel widely. I see all Islamic centers, Shia centers, Sunni centers, others. In most of them, I see there is segregation. But then the women, they come at the end of the lecture, they complain. They say, Sayyid, we really need to see the speaker. We are human beings. At work, we are together, men and women together. In the marketplace together, in the street together, in the hospital together, in the school together, in the university together. Why when we come to the masjid, we are divided? What's wrong? And this is the truth. This is the truth. Here in America, women and men are everywhere, alhamdulillah. You know, in America, women, they walk before men. In Arab countries, women always behind men, half a kilometer behind men. So in a country where women and men are together outside, why inside we should separate? So many people think that they are against segregation. They say, since we are sitting in a spiritual, religious, educational setting, there is no wrong, no harm, no haram in having them in one room, listening and worshipping and contributing to their religion. So this is something that I wanted to explain, and inshallah we will see a greater role for our sisters, for our daughters, for our mothers, for our wives in this society. We need to show America that Islam does not discriminate against women. Women have a human soul. Women are the essence of the families. Women and mothers are the ones who hold the families together. So it is not true that women are oppressed in Islam or mistreated or second-class citizens. Now we cannot change the situation in the Middle East, in the Arabian Peninsula, in the Gulf States, in North Africa, but at least we can change it in our homes, in our societies, and our communities. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat, wal muslimina wal muslimat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat, tabi'in lahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat, innaka mujibud da'wat. Before you leave, let me do the dua, but I want you to stay so we can appreciate the volunteers. Please don't go. Please don't go. Just wait 7 minutes where we give the gift. It's Muhammad As. Let's recite this dua for our leader, our Imam, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajah. And before that, we have a couple of people in the hospital. Please, let's pray for them. Please, please, during these the last nights of the month of Ramadan, we pray for their health, for their recovery and well-being. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibul mudhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul mudhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul mudhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين المريض المنظور والمريضة المنظورة اللهم ألبسهم وألبسهما ثوب الصحة والعافية يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا واجعلنا اللهم من أنصاره وأعوانه وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.